religiosity can complicate our relationship with God, and it can feel more like a heavy burden or boxes to check than a deeply personal connection with our Creator. We are also surrounded with messages that tell us that our value is in our ability to get things done, while at the same time saying that we as women shouldn't stand out or draw attention to ourselves. My name is Emily Lewis, and you're listening to the Abundant Grace Podcast. For 26 years of my life, I felt like it was my responsibility to keep God happy by doing all the things. I was desperate to be good and to belong. So I exhausted myself by checking the boxes and squeezing myself into the expectations of what others and what I thought God wanted from me. But when I learned that God loves me unconditionally and with radical grace, that allowed me to let go of toxic relationships with the church and myself. Now, as a beloved daughter of God, a wife, a mom, a kids ministry pastor, a speaker, and a worthiness coach, I am confidently living the life that God meant for me. I'm here to help you overcome beliefs that are no longer serving you so that you too can live a well-rested life, ask for what you want, confidently expect to receive what you're worth, and have deep, authentic relationships with God, yourself, and others. When you are grounded in God's grace and own who He says you already are, it opens up the door for the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. I'm Emily Lewis, and I'm so glad you're here, friend. Hey there, friend. Welcome to this episode. I'm so glad that you're here. Happy Halloween if you're listening to this when the episode comes out. And if not, enjoy this Halloween-themed episode. Side note, anybody want to just laugh with me at this former Baptist girl saying Happy Halloween and celebrating it in this way, right? I think it's super fun. I don't think I've ever published an episode directly on Halloween. Probably just hasn't fallen on the dates, or I didn't have a specific topic in mind that would tie in. But today I do. And this is one of the most interacted with polls that I've ever done on my Instagram stories, which is super fun because I was asking about a Halloween themed episode and had a few different ideas and got some feedback from people on which one you guys want to hear. So the questions were, do you want an episode on these topics? And I'll list these topics. So overcoming ghosts from the past, the costumes we wear, haunted relationships, dealing with people, or witch's brew of negative self-talk. And it was almost an even split between overcoming ghosts from the past, the costumes we wear, and witch's brew of negative self-talk. So today we're going to jump into this topic of overcoming ghosts from the past. And we'll probably save the costumes we wear for maybe next year, but it's a super relevant topic. So I might tie it into a different episode, and then I'll bring an episode on negative self-talk here in the next couple of weeks or months and hit that one too, since everybody was interested in those three topic titles. We're going to dive into those. So this idea of past versions of ourselves being ghosts is what we're going to dive into today. And this idea, I have to give credit for almost everything you're going to hear in this episode. Like the main theme of this is from a message that I heard by Carrie Chamberlain from a church in Flagstaff, Arizona called The Commons. And I've really appreciated the messages that I've heard from there. They have a series every October called Dark October, where they're tackling some heavier, darker topics like hell and demons and ghosts and sin, like some other like heavy hitting topics, and going deep on those. I recommend check them out. There's a very good perspective in those episodes. Even if you don't fully agree with where they land, go check it out. It's very helpful to hear some nuance and hear those heavy, harder topics from a fresh perspective. So Carrie's message which I listened to about a year or a little over a year ago. And it has stuck with me since then, this concept of ghosts and past versions of ourselves. And I want to share it with you because it stuck with me so much. Because anything we listen to, if it sticks around longer than a week or a month, I think it's pretty significant, because we consume so much darn content in this age that we live in. I mean, 20 minutes of scrolling on your phone and how many different humans' voices and perspectives and topics and all the things have you heard there? And yet we probably can't remember even two things that we heard just then. So if something sticks with us in this content overabundant world, it was meant for us. There was something there for us, and there was definitely something there for me. I talked about it probably in like a life update episode not too long ago about the fear of showing up locally and the fear of being judged locally and the uniqueness of growing up in a town and staying in that same town or area, or maybe even you've moved back there, or maybe even just visiting, you like bump into people who know past versions of you, and they might never get to meet the full new who you are now. And even if they did, the past kind of informs their view of who you are. And this can be really tricky. This is like an apparition that they're seeing of a past version of you, and navigating around when people know a past version of you can be really intimidating and tricky, because we want other people to think well of us. And we might look at the past version of ourselves and be embarrassed or wonder what people know. Like, does this person know that I've changed? Does this person know that I've grown? Does this person remember when I said that's really dumb thing? I mean, like, I have said verbatim before that I think men were just better than women, and gave some reasons why. Like, that's what the kind of stuff I parroted. And when I see, I can think of two people that I said that to. And I just cringe and go, I wonder if they remember me saying that. It's just like, it makes us want to crawl inside of ourselves or to get a megaphone and be like, I'm not like that anymore. That's not who I am anymore. Because we want people to think well of us, and we can be embarrassed by past versions of ourselves. And some of the things we say are pretty knuckleheaded, or some of the things that we do, we're not very smart. And we can want to hide from those past versions of ourselves or to explain ourselves. I was listening to Shannon, I cannot think of her last name right now. Hody Miller. That's her last name. And she wrote a book called The Cost of Control. And it is in my Amazon shopping cart because I need to read it. But in between the first time I heard a podcast episode describing the book and actually me ordering the book, I started doing some looking around for different messages that she's done or other podcast episodes. And I found an interview that she did, an interview series she did. And one of the episodes was with Beth Moore. And the title of the episode was like something about the cost of trying to control other people's perception of you. Or maybe it was like trying to control like, your image, what people know about you, and defending who you are to the masses. Because both of them, especially Beth Moore, has been in the public spotlight for a very long time. Decades of her life has been spent there. So it was a really helpful conversation to think about. People know things about you, or other people will make up stuff about you. And there are people who don't care And what is it costing us to try to control what other people perceive about us and relinquishing that control? Because our reputation matters, but we can't always control what other people think. It's not our job to control what other people think. And that's some of what's going on when we are ashamed and embarrassed about past versions of ourselves and how we showed up and how we said this or how we believed that. And I just want everybody to know that I don't believe X, Y, and Z anymore, or I'm not that person anymore, or I would apologize to that person. I have a short list still of people that if I see them and get a chance to have a conversation with them, I want to apologize for some of the inconsistencies and incongruence. But also having to be very aware in my heart, am I doing that because I'm running a PR campaign for God? Or am I doing it because I want to run a PR campaign for myself? Even worse. Or am I doing it to actually repair relationship and help that person maybe have closure about a really weird interaction or something that in turn happened to them? I don't know. But like, what is our motive? Because my motive can't be just to control what people think about God or me. Like, that's not my job. But it can be really tricky when we want people to think really well of us and we feel like we could maybe control that if we just told them we're different now. We're not that person. We're not that know-it-all. We're not that goody-two-shoes. We're not that Pharisee. We're not that whatever, fill in the blank. We're not that party person, just whatever we wish they knew about us so that we would be thought of as good in their mind or in their eyes. But if it is not helpful for them in restoring relationship, connection, healing, growth, relationship with God, then it's probably not worth saying, right? Which is uncomfortable to not be able to say something or to feel convicted. Like, it's not my job to correct that. It's not my job to shame a past version of myself. It's not my job to shame people who are in the spot where I used to be, because that's one of the things that we're doing and that I want to touch on today too, because it's really important that we recognize that some of this fear of other people not knowing who we are or feeling like we're living with ghosts of past versions of ourselves, that we don't end up shaming people who are in that spot now because we're embarrassed about who we were then. I'm going to totally skip to the punchline way sooner than I wanted to. But maybe it'll be good because then you can chew on it longer with me. But it's really important that we learn to love that past version of ourselves and know that, yes, I made mistakes. Yes, maybe I did the best that I could. Yes, if I could go back and change something, maybe you would. I know we're not quote unquote supposed to want to, but there's a handful of things that I do have legit regrets for. And that I have worked through forgiving myself for and accepting God's forgiveness for. And I still look back and go, ugh, that one, can I take back that one because of how it affected me and it affected other people? Like, we have those. And if we can acknowledge them and love that past version of ourselves and say, you know, God loved me in that moment too. And God loves me in this moment too. And God loves me in my next screw up too. It can give us insane confidence. It can give us the belief in insane belonging. Like, you belong. You are part of the family. You're accepted. And you can have confidence knowing that a past version of yourself, even the one that you shake your head at and wish nobody knew, that person or that version of you, or that everybody knew that you weren't them anymore, that person needs love and care and tenderness and compassion. And there's probably some inner work that can be done to tend to the shame and the guilt, and so that you can love that person who you used to be, that ghost that you're still living with and you're not going to get rid of anytime soon. So you might as well learn to love them, love that version of yourself, and extend God's care and love. And this is the same kind of concept as, oh my gosh, I just forgot the term for it, like family systems in therapy, where there's like, there's the now version of ourselves, there's the adult version of ourselves, there's the adolescent version of ourselves, and there's the child version of ourselves. Like those different stages and perspectives inside of our minds need closure and healing. Go look it up. I did a really poor job of describing it, but I just wanted to give an example of like different past versions of ourselves. This is modeled in different therapy tools and different ways that we can go about healing and addressing things. So it's not just this woo-woo weird idea, but that we have things inside of us in our mind that just haven't experienced closure and healing. And we might need to go back to that moment. I talk about this when we talk about like our deepest core fears and beliefs and needs. When emotions are coming up and they are super uncomfortable, we can go, wait a second. Okay, where am I experiencing this in my body? When was the last time that I experienced this specific feeling? When was the first time that I remember experiencing this feeling? Or what was a time when I was a child and I experienced this feeling? And we can do the work to go back and heal and address the root cause of some of our fears and insecurities. The same thing with these ghosts, these apparitions. We need a whole lot more care and love and compassion, rather than shaming and guilting ourselves for who we used to be or how we used to show up. Love and care is the antidote, is the answer. And that also keeps us humble now. One of the things that is most wild to me is thinking about how far my belief system has shifted in just 5 years, like significantly changed in 5 years. The way that I view the world, politics, myself, God, my family, my priorities, my calling, like literally everything feels like I have a different perspective on it over the last 5 years, which is wild. And one of the reasons it feels so wild is looking at it going, I was so darn sure and dogmatic as all get out about everything I believed. And God helping me, I hope that I am a lot more humble and open than I used to be. But I guarantee, this is the wild, trippy part, I guarantee that there's something that I believe right now that isn't true. That in 5 years, I'm going to look back and go, oh, wow, yeah, Emily, 2023, she believed X, Y, and Z. She doesn't anymore. Like there's going to be things that I'm going to change. I'm going to grow. And I think it was my therapist. It might have been somebody else. I think my therapist at least alluded to it. Just that if we don't look back in 5 or 10 years, and go, oh my gosh, can you believe you did that? Or can you believe you thought that? Or can you believe that you believed that? Like if we don't look back on ourselves in 5 or 10 years and think that at least about one thing, have we grown? Have we grown at all? That keeps me humble. It's intimidating, but it does keep me humble. And it can allow us to realize that it doesn't require, God doesn't require, God's love doesn't require perfection at all. And we are allowed to be loved right where we're at. We're allowed to be loved right where we used to be. God loved that past version of ourselves as much as he loves us right now. And he loves that future version of you. You are fully, completely accepted. There's not something you need to do or change or shape or shift in your life for God to love you more. And God loves that ghost that feels like it's haunting you, that you kind of wish that version of you would maybe go away or wasn't there. God has so much love and care for you. So much. Past, present, and future you. And you can extend that same care and love without having to correct other people, without having to do PR management over what other people may or may not be thinking about you. Because that is not your job. That's not your responsibility. So, big load off. Big deep breath on the pressure that lets off. It's okay to grow. It's great to change your mind. And it's good to learn and be different than you used to be. And to share compassion with a version of yourself that maybe you're feeling embarrassed about. And you know wasn't right. And maybe even hurt people. And maybe that's you now. Maybe you're like, nope, that's me now. But either way, you are deserving of love and compassion in all of those stages. And if we can remember that, if we can get and stay grounded in that, it'll change everything for us. It'll change how we show up and love other people. It'll change how we show up and operate with boldness and confidence now rather than waiting until we get it just right. Because you do not have to get it just right. That's not your job, not your responsibility. So you let it go. I know that's a whole lot easier said than done, but it does still need to be said. So I hope this helps to take some of the pressure off. And if you are looking for a way to pour God's love into your heart and into your life so that you can experience that care for this version of yourself, for the past versions of yourselves, and you want a confidence boost and a refresh on your connection to God, go to emilyklouis.com. That's Emily, the letter K, LOUIS.com/connected. Again, that's emilyklouis.com/connected. Get into the Connected course. It's just $99. It can change everything in your life because it starts to change your perception of who God is, who he sees you as, and reminds you that you're worthy of care and compassion and will help you extend that to yourself and past versions of yourself, to people who maybe have a misconception of you and they're happy with that misconception, or to people who have views or actions that you used to have. It will just shift everything when we start allowing God's love to come in fresh and new ways so that we can extend that to ourselves and stop blocking it. And then we can pour it out onto other people. Go check it out. If you're feeling pulled toward it, if you feel like you need a refresh in that area, it's for you. I made it for you, and God ordained opportunities for you to refresh his care and compassion for you, for your heart, so that you can thrive and other people can too. Thanks for hanging out with me and for bringing your ghosts along with you, these apparitions of past versions of ourselves. You don't have to be ashamed or embarrassed about who you've been, and I hope you operate with so much confidence and know that you're allowed to change your mind and you don't have to get it perfect. And that's just a sign of growth. Thanks so much for listening to the Abundant Grace Podcast. If this episode was an encouragement to you, or you heard a nugget that you needed, I invite you to share it with a friend. Who else relates and would be blessed by today's episode? And it would help me out so much if you would leave a review for the Abundant Grace podcast. It makes a world of difference getting this podcast into the ears of other people so that they can be empowered to own their worth too. As always, I would love to hear from you. You can find me hanging out on Instagram, emily.abundantgrace, or you can send me an email at hello@emilyklewis.com. I'm praying for you and cheering you on in your faith and healing. Have a great rest of your day, and remember, there is nothing you can do to add or take away from your worth, and there is nothing you can do that will make God love you more, and nothing you have done that makes God love you any less.